Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fasamai, welcome to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on this chilly Thursday, the 20th of November. Time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, we have the latest on the MyCard situation, as users without bank accounts are told they will get new cards in the new year. They'll have to get a rush on if they want to hit the target for the new Castle Rushen High School. Some big news from the steam packet in the last hour, and we hear what was on the mind of the regulars at the Woody this afternoon. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai. The steam packet has announced it will be operating a regular three-vessel schedule outside of the TT for the first time in more than 15 years. In the newly unveiled schedule for 2026-27, Ben McCree will pilot passenger and freight services to Ireland, leaving Monaghan and Manxman free to increase the number of crossings to Liverpool and Heysham. MyCard users who can't use a bank account will be issued with new MyCards in January. Proposals from the Chief Minister, amended by Rob Mercer MLC, were unanimously supported in Tynwald this morning. It came after harsh criticism from members like Arbury Castletown and Maloo MHK Tim Glover, who believes many feel let down by the system.
We've been asking about this since October last year, and here we are. Suddenly a magic 15 hours of consideration overnight, and we get what we've been saying we needed for quite some time. It just beggars belief.
It's hoped work could start on a new Castle Rushen High School by the end of next year, but the Education Minister admits the timeline is tight. And a Ramsey Commissioner says residents of the town must make their voices heard about the Department of Infrastructure's plans for new flood defences. Next Monday, the DOI is holding drop-in sessions at the Town Hall for people to look at the plans and provide feedback. Further afield, the UK's COVID inquiry has found 23,000 lives could have been saved if the UK had gone into lockdown a week earlier.
To assess what was reasonable, one must therefore put the decisions into proper context. Nonetheless, I can summarise my findings of the response as too little, too late.
That's Chair Baroness Hallett, who found all four governments failed to appreciate the scale of the threat or the urgency the pandemic required. Meanwhile, the government's outlined proposed changes to legal migration to the UK. A US peace plan to end Russia's war with Ukraine has reportedly suggested Kyiv surrendering all of the Donbass region to Moscow. And Lily Allen is adding some more dates to her sold-out tour. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Siobhan Gouramayed will bring you more on that UK COVID inquiry report during the programme. For now, though, the latest weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There is that yellow weather warning in for frost and ice until 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It's continuing dry with clear spells and light northerly winds this evening. Temperatures falling below zero overnight, leading to a risk of frost and icy patches forming. A cold start to the day tomorrow, but remaining dry and sunny. Light winds will settle to the southwest and begin to strengthen later in the day. Top temperature of 9 degrees. Rain for a time overnight into Saturday, bringing milder conditions for the weekend. Then dry with bright or sunny intervals for much of Saturday, turning cloudy later as rain moves in from the west.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open, with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The time is now 5:05. MyCard users who can't access banking services will be issued with a new MyCard to use from the 1st of January. This morning, Tynwald unanimously supported proposals to keep the system in place for now for those who can't use basic or regular bank accounts. There had been concern withdrawing the service would leave some users unable to access their pensions and benefits. The last-minute changes were put forward by Chief Minister Alfred Cannon, who yesterday asked for a debate on the payment system to be adjourned overnight to give the Council of Ministers more time to finalise plans.
Can I first of all start by thanking honourable members for their forbearance last night and for giving the Council of Ministers that opportunity to sit down and work with the Treasury Minister to better understand the exact position and what needed to be done for us to protect those in society who continue to need an access to cash to receive their benefits and their pensions. I'd like to thank the honourable mover of this motion and indeed all members who have contributed and brought forward amendments that reflect their concern. And indeed, I can assure you that we share all those concerns and want to make sure that people are properly looked after. Therefore, this morning, Mr. President, I have circulated an amendment that I hope will clarify the position from the discussions that Tynwald had yesterday and indeed the discussions that the Council had last night and this morning. That amendment notes the effective position that my cards are due to expire, endorses the fact that the Treasury are continuing to work with MyCard users, and where, of course, a MyCard user is unable to transition for whatever reason to a regular bank account or set up a bank account, then they will be issued a new MyCard to operate from the 1st of January 2026, and that the Treasury clearly need to continue to work to ensure that those who need cash, for whatever reason, have that ability to be able to access that.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon there. You can find more about that MyCard situation over at manxradio.com. Now, in the last hour, the Steam Packet has announced it will be operating a regular three-vessel schedule outside of the TT for the first time in more than 15 years. In the newly unveiled schedule for 2026/27, Ben McCree will pilot passenger and freight services to Ireland, including Dublin and Larne, leaving Monaghan and Manxman free to increase the number of crossings to Liverpool and Heysham. The timetable will go live tomorrow morning at 9:30 and runs up to late May 2027, as Amy Griffiths reports.
The ferry operator says Monaghan's Liverpool schedule will feature additional daytime sailings through the summer months, and it will maintain two sailings a day into early September. And then there'll also be the opportunity to expand the number of sailings in September if demand is there. Manxman will serve exclusively on the Heysham run in peak season, but will take up the reins of the Liverpool weekend sailings between November and the end of March. This move, the Steam Packet says, is in response to the popularity of the winter Liverpool day trips, while to ensure the new schedule doesn't impact freight patterns. Ben McCree will provide support to Manxman on the Heysham route where appropriate. The company says passenger volumes have increased throughout 2025 thanks to initiatives launched in October last year, such as the 10% reduction in so-called flexi fares and allowing all children under the age of 16 to travel for free. Is also planning a substantial interior refurbishment of Ben McCree to modernise the public areas and enhance facilities for passengers using the routes to Ireland. This, it adds, will ensure all of the public areas on the company's vessels meet modern standards, with Monaghan's lounges having been refurbished during the winters of 2023-24 and 24-25. Steam Packet Managing Director Brian Thompson says, "We're committed to supporting a growth agenda for the Isle of Man, and we feel this is the good use of our resources to do that. What I would say, though, is this is a case of use it or lose it. We cannot, as a company, afford to back an initiative that loses money over the long term. We're making a two-year commitment to the new routes to Ireland today. We'll be giving it our best shot, and we're looking for support from the business community and residents of the Isle of Man to make sure it succeeds."
Amy Griffiths with that report.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. update on Manx Radio.
It's 10 past five now. The big news of the day from the UK has been the publication of the COVID-19 inquiry report published in the last hour. It's found that the response of the government across to the pandemic in March 2020 was too little, too late, and led to thousands more deaths. Siobhan Fletcher has been across our news coverage today and has been keeping an eye on this. Siobhan, what else do we know?
Yeah, Lewis. So, of course, whilst we're discussing the findings of the UK's COVID inquiry here, it's obviously relevant for us here on the island due to how much our own rules were largely shaped, I suppose, by those seen across. The UK's inquiry was chaired by Baroness Heather Hallett. She's a retired British judge of the Court of Appeal and a crossbench life peer. She found that imposing lockdown a week earlier could have saved 23,000 lives in the first wave in England.
To assess what was reasonable, one must therefore put the decisions into proper context. Nonetheless, I can summarise my findings of the response as too little, too late.
Now, she also found that lockdown could have been avoided altogether if steps such as social distancing and isolating those with symptoms had been introduced earlier. Now, it's worth noting here, Lewis, that just under 227,000 people in the UK died with COVID-19, listed as one of the causes of on their death certificate between March 2020 and May 2023.
Okay, so Siobhan, obviously here on the island, we didn't have an inquiry on this scale, but we did have a review into government's handling of COVID-19 here, which was published in January last year. Were any similar themes found across both documents?
Yeah, so you're referring there to Kate Brunner KC's 3,600-page report. Now, she made 31 recommendations for us. Her findings included things like that the government should refund the charges imposed on returning residents who had to stay at the Comus, you might remember this, during the pandemic. And she called for a comprehensive review of our emergency powers and for urgent action to ensure future oxygen supplies at Nobles Hospital, that sort of thing. She also found that a public inquiry was not needed here. Now, I'm not saying that everything in her report was positive. She also highlighted that the pandemic caused havoc and distress to some Manx residents and stated that lives were lost. Some people remained very unwell and many were traumatised. But I think the key thing that links the two reports today, Lewis, is that Ms Brunner found that our emergency planning was not adequate, with the island too reliant on the UK, with insufficient attention paid to things like borders. So the bigger question now is, how did the failings in the UK's response impact us here? I think more on that will be revealed as we'll have more time to digest Baroness Hallett's report.
Certainly. Siobhan Fletcher, Gurul Mayad, thank you. We'll keep an eye on that as things develop over in the UK. Now, 12 minutes past five. It's hoped work could start on a new Castle Russian High School by the end of next year, but the Education Minister admits the timeline is tight. Daphne Kane told Timwald a project manager has now been appointed and that work has started on actual designs, she says. Built in 1961, the current building has served the community for over 60 years. But for a decade now, the need for a new school building at Castle Russian has been clear to staff, children and local MHKs. Education Minister Daphne Kane has been telling our Phil Gorn that substantial progress has now been made.
We've had a very positive update in recent days. There is a design team and a project manager that have been appointed, and they bring an integrated consultancy team. They've been working on a comprehensive actual design, which is looking at the sizes and position of the school facilities.
Cynical observers of politics would say, we've heard this all before. How realistic is it that this actual latest development is actually going to result in something tangible happening?
Well, I can take confidence from the fact the contract has appointed hold experience and a clear track record of building schools across the UK. The point is that I think government has taken learnings over doing a very large capital project in terms of pinning down all the design elements ahead of going out for costing and building, and that's where we are. I won't deny that the timeline is very tight in order that we're hoping to bring this back for a vote to get on with the construction by next summer.
So the vote will be next summer. I presume that would mean that the works could start by the mid to the end of 2026.
Well, I think that is certainly the ambition. As I said, it's very tight. We're relying on a significant amount of effort from all involved. In terms of when the building starts beyond that, well, that would depend on the contract and how those elements fall into place when we get to the actual site. But no, I think it's the most positive progress that we've had, and it is absolutely, we are on it to enable a replacement school to be delivered.
Education Minister Daphne Kane speaking to Phil Gawn there. Well, in Timor this week, there were warnings that if cost proposals are delayed beyond June next year, the current administration would be unable to scrutinise them. But if all goes to plan, the proposals are set to go before politicians in the summer, and if approved, work could then start on the new Castle Rushen High School in the second half of 2026, 10 years after money was first set aside for the project.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's start on the roads. Of course, the mountain road remains closed. DOI has said the route will be reassessed at midday tomorrow. The upper stretch of the Thalty Will Road is also closed due to the snow and ice up there. The Douglas Christmas light switch on takes place this evening. Traffic will be busy around town, and there'll be some restrictions to traffic around the Strand Street area, of course. And roadworks to watch out for elsewhere in Onchan: temporary lights on King Edward Road between Groudall and the Old Liverpool Arms to replace a collapsed culvert there. And in Crosby all this week, temporary lights on the Ayrton Road for manhole repairs. Well, no problems to report over at the airport this evening, and smooth sailings on the steam packet as well. Manxman approaching Douglas as we speak, departing back to Heysham tonight at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Yes, indeed. And earlier today on Man in Line, Andy Wint was live at the Woodburn Pub with some members of the Woody Club, a joint venture between the Live at Home charity and Ockles Inns. They meet every Thursday to try and help tackle loneliness in the older generations. One of the topics that came up was that of derelict houses and a lack of development on brownfield sites. Shirley and Colin shared their thoughts.
We do have several things that's happening which none of us like, and particularly the thing I don't like is the empty houses which are now derelict and scruffy looking in Douglas, and also all these beautiful properties that have been pulled down and just left with rubble and nothing being done about it. And I don't know who is responsible for it.
The brownfield site,
we've
yeah.
We've got too many of them in and around Douglas. I'm not talking about just one isolated house. There's loads of empty houses. You've got so many people coming in because Isle of Man is a wonderful place for jobs and to live. But where are the houses when there are so many people?
Going back to these private properties then that are either left derelict
yeah.
or are knocked down and there's just a brownfield site there, what do you think should happen? Do you think the government or the local authority should do something about it?
Let's go to the empty houses that are just boarded up, that should be compulsory purchased, and the dirty houses, which are an eyesore, get them done, get them cleaned up, get the staff from somewhere, out the prisons, bring them in to paint and clean up the place, not leave it.
I'm part of First Douglas, I'm one of the leaders there. We're right in the middle of a building site at the moment.
And for anybody who doesn't know where it is, it's where?
It's right in the middle of the Manx Development Corporation.
Westmorland Village.
Yes, but yeah, it's a worry. We don't have anywhere else to go. We own it, and we've been pressured to try and sell it to
Manx Development Corporation.
Yeah, but in the plans, we've got a nice new headquarters, but they won't tell us when they're going to build it, which will be fantastic when we get there. It's just, what do we do in the meantime?
And how long do they say is the difference between when that one's pulled down and the new one's built?
They won't tell us. That's the worry. No idea if we have to move out, how long we'll be out for. We've got nowhere else to go. As soon as you start splintering a scout group, it just falls apart.
The thoughts there of Shirley and Colin from the Woody Club. Well, we have contacted Manx Development Corporation for a response on that. 19 minutes past five, a Ramsey commissioner says residents of the town must make their voices heard about the Department of Infrastructure's plans for new flood defences. Next Monday, the DOI is holding drop-in sessions for people to look at the plans and provide feedback. This is taking place at the town hall during its usual opening hours. Well, Juan McGuinness says the town is under threat of tidal flooding and believes that the defences need to be in place to protect homes and businesses on the quayside.
Ramsey is one of the most at-risk areas for tidal floods. So obviously ensuring that our quayside and the properties around there are properly protected is important. I would caveat that it's got to be the right flood protection for the town.
What do you hope that people and the DOI and yourselves at the commissioners get out of the drop-in sessions, which I think are starting next week?
Yeah, so the DOI are going to be in the town hall from Monday, and they're here all week during the day, and they will be here on Thursday until 7 p.m. I think it's massively important that people of Ramsey see the proposed plans that the DOI wish. It's going to go through planning, so everyone have the right to have their say, but this next week is all about information so that people have a full awareness of exactly what the proposals will look like and what the impact will be on the town.
How much of a problem is flooding in Ramsey at the moment? Obviously, there haven't been many recently, but I imagine it used to be a problem. So what kinds of things do you experience as a town?
I think what we have is the threat of flooding, because whilst currently it's only a couple of centimetres a year, they get a bit of a corner wet. But obviously, what happened 15, 20 years ago when Parliament Street ended up flooded, there's massive property damage, you know, it impacts on insurance. So it's not a case of every year we have issues, but when it does flood, they are big issues.
Ramsey Commissioner Duan McGuinness there. The drop-in sessions are being held at Ramsey Town Hall from next Monday and will run until Friday during its usual opening hours. There will also be an additional late session next Thursday from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. Now, a voice for your island. That's how a role on the Isle of Man Planning Committee is being advertised, as Peter Young retires from the committee after 15 years. Manx residents are being urged to submit an application to join as a lay member. Christian Jones has been speaking to Onken MHK, Rob Callister, who's the political chair on the planning committee.
Well, personally, I've been the chairman of the planning committee since November 2023, and I have really enjoyed being the chair of that committee. We determine around about 20% of all planning applications that are submitted, 80% are dealt with by officers. It's a unique opportunity for anyone who wants to come forward and to try that role, because you have a genuine input around how this island will look and feel for many generations to come. And I've really enjoyed that without too much political interference. So if anyone would like to sort of step forward and actually feel they have the right skills of this, then the applications will close on Wednesday the 17th of December 2025.
And there are some of the most important development votes that go through the planning committee. It does have quite a significant power to shape the way the island is developed.
Oh, absolutely. There is a chair and there's six lay members. We go into each meeting every 2 weeks and we go into those meetings as independent members. We don't talk about applications before. We determine what decision to take. But it is based on a pack that you get from officers, and those decisions are normally made within the legal and policy framework of the Town and Country Planning Act 1999 or the Isle of Man Strategic Plan and the relevant area plan, which has been a topic of discussion over recent weeks. But the key thing is we have professional officers there to guide us. They make recommendations. We then determine if those recommendations should be supported or we put forward alternatives. The most important thing about this role is the fact that it's really independent and you can have a major input to how this island will look and feel for many years to come.
Chair of the Planning Committee and Onken MHK Rob Callister speaking to Christian there. Well, applications for the position are now open and close at midnight on Wednesday the 17th of December. Turning our attention to sport now, Manx professional cyclist Lizzie Holden says she's taking time to adjust to taking the recent decision to retire from the sport. The Women's World Tour competitor and 2023 British Elite Women's Time Trial champion has been telling Manx Radio why now feels like the right time to be stepping away from racing.
Like, I had a difficult year last year with Epstein-Barr glandular fever, and that took a really long time to come back from. And yeah, I think just mentally the toll of coming back from that, and then the start of this year I had a crash where I fractured the coccyx bone, and that took a long time. And I think just racing in general is like, the standard has increased so much and we're going so much faster, the risk is higher. And I think, yeah, I just noticed like this year especially, like I was more scared in general, like I didn't want to take as much risk anymore. And yeah, obviously you can't be at the highest level if you're not willing to take those risks. So yeah, it was just more that, like, I still love riding my bike, but racing, yeah, mentally I'm not at the highest level anymore. And it's, yeah, hard to do that if you're not there.
What have been the biggest highlights, do you feel, of your professional cycling career?
I think, like, most of my career I was generally helping my teammates or someone else, but like the opportunities I had to ride for myself in the Commonwealth Games, even just to represent the Isle of Man there was like, it's incredibly special. And then obviously the TT champs in 23, that was, yeah, like I said, I was never really the most confident person. And even crossing the finish line, I was like, did I really just win? Or I'm not sure. Like, so yeah, I think just, and I mean, one highlight actually was being a part of when the Women's Tour de France started. Obviously there was additions in the past, but to come back as a 7-day stage race, that to be a part of that was like incredible. And like just seeing the growth in women's cycling is amazing. And I think, yeah, it will continue to grow.
Well, you can listen to the full extended interview with Lizzie Holden on the Manx Radio Sportscast at manxradio.com. It's 5:25 now. Let's say fast to my to Manx Radio Sports editor Rob Pritchard.
Fast to my. Well, first off, in snooker, it's all change again at the top of the Mancrane Highest Snooker League, with Q-Zone Blinders moving to the top of the standings. They earned a 4-1 win over St Olav's during the latest game week to leapfrog their opponents into top spot. Meanwhile, fellow title challengers the Hurricanes suffered a narrow 3-2 loss to Port St Mary Legion. There were victories elsewhere for Douglas Snooker Bar Wannabes, Finchill Rockets, the Cue Ballers, Finchill Mob and Snooker Barbarians. The other highlight of the latest fixtures was Finchill Mob's Peter Kirkham managing a joint best break so far this season of 63 on his way to extending his individual winning run to 6 wins from 6. In athletics, a selection of Ireland competitors are expected to be involved in the second round of the British Cross Challenge in Liverpool this weekend. The series serves as the selection trial for the Great Britain under 20, under 23 and senior teams ahead of next month's European Cross Country Championships in Portugal. Among the senior runners, Manx athlete Sarah Astin is expected to contest the senior women's race for Belgrave Harriers. The men's under 20 race will feature Northern AC's Sam Perry, whilst Manx Harriers duo Bella Quay and Leighton Curfew will take part in the under 13s races. Also in athletics, organisers of the upcoming Sidquirk Half Marathon remain on the lookout for more marshals to help run the event. The Isle of Man Veteran Athletes Club has put out an appeal this week looking to hear from anyone who can help fill some key officiating positions. Anyone available to help is being asked to contact the club via email on iomvaclub@yahoo.com. Another bumper turnout is expected for this year's race, which will be held in the south of the island on Sunday. Last year it saw a record turnout with 500 competitors and spaces in the race filled in just over 24 hours. And finally, in rugby, one of the Isle of Man's young upcoming rugby players has been selected to represent Lancashire under-20s for the forthcoming season. Josh Campbell of Douglas Rugby Club has been selected in the Lancashire under-20 squad for the 2025-26 campaign. Douglas Rugby Club is sending its congratulations and is wishing him well.
Rob Pritchard, Guru Mayed. That's it for Update Tonight. Fiona McArdle will be along next with Shaq Laird. Then Chris Kinley is back from 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. Have a great evening. Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.